Last week I gave you something to take home and do some homework with. Did anybody bring your homework back? Did anybody take it home and do it? Time for a grade. How to get the most out of the preacher's preaching, or that paper said the pastor's preaching. I think it was some pretty good information for all of us. And I'm going to continue to talk the next few Sunday nights. I don't know how many Sunday nights it'll be, on some things along that line. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8 and verse 18, Jesus is speaking there in that verse, and he said, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." The Amplified says, "Be careful therefore how you listen." Be careful therefore how you listen. And so, to title a series, I guess, the title of the series would be Consider How You Listen. If you already wrote something down, you probably wrote Careful How You Listen. That would fit as well, but consider how you listen. At the bottom of your page, at the very bottom of your page, it would say that there's a little prayer to ask the Lord to help you to listen. So why don't we stop right now and ask the Lord to give us of His help tonight. Our Father in heaven, You have given us many blessings. You have poured out upon us time and time again and answered many, many prayers. It's a joy to serve Jesus. Thank You, Father, for all that You've done. Help us to hear Your voice this evening. Help us to hear from heaven tonight. As much as possible, hide the human. Allow the divine to be seen and felt and heard in this portion of the service as we've opened up Your word. As we look into what You have given us, help us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Be careful, therefore, how you listen. Tonight's topic would be that we would expect God to speak. Expect God to speak. I asked a question a few weeks ago, and we'll go definitely in a different direction tonight. But these sorts of questions a few weeks ago, how does the preacher receive his inspiration? We could say, how does a speaker receive their inspiration? Somebody that's in a Sunday school class setting pretty much has something given to them to talk about, is the general rule. It's usually what takes place is the Sunday school teacher teaches what's in the quarterly, or something to do with what is in the quarterly. But on the other hand, somebody that's involved with something else, maybe it's the youth leader in the youth services, or the children's leader in the children's services, or somebody that's speaking at nursing home services, or maybe there's a little bit involved with finding God's choice for a specific gathering time that is maybe involved with Good News Club, VBS, Christmas programs. There's all sorts of things that we can look at when somebody has to find something to present that's not already given to them in a quarterly or something. How does a person find or receive that information or receive the inspiration? Is inspiration that comes for that, does that only come from the Spirit of God? Does inspiration, as I asked a few weeks ago, ever come from sight or by seeing, looking? Or is it possible that inspiration, real true inspiration, can possibly come from both of them, the Spirit and sight? Because as a preacher or as a pastor or evangelist, you'll hear evangelists come and say that all across the country as they go in and out of churches, they see. And then they'll preach something about that. Is that inspiration by sight only? Or is God using their sight of what they're seeing to give inspiration from the Spirit? If we struggle with the idea that it's wrong for a preacher to receive inspiration by sight, and sometimes people do, who can really be the judge as to if that comes only from sight inspired or Spirit inspired? My dad pastored a church one time. I was already away from home. That narrows things down for anybody that's listening that would want to find fault with it. But I remember Dad talking to me about the problems that were existing. And I don't know the whole story. I was already gone. As a matter of fact, I was already pastoring at the time. And everything was wonderful for the first few weeks. I don't know what happened. I don't know what transpired. I don't know the whole story. All I know is that Dad told me that it wasn't very long until things began to change and somebody in the church came to him and said, "Ziegler, you are not preaching under Spirit inspiration." Well, who has the right to do that? It's a valid question for me. I don't know if it's a valid question for you. I think a person better be mighty careful if they choose to challenge the pastor's inspiration. I think it's something that should be taken very, very carefully. But who is to judge what the preacher feels that God is saying should be spoken? Because sometimes when we as humanity, we as people are pretty much the same all across the country, around the world. I think that people are the same here as they are back home in England, aren't they, Brother Cook? People are people. We have different ideas or different ways of doing some things and different ways of pronouncing things. But people are people. And quite often it seems like people, you and I, when we get our toes stepped on, our foot stepped on, that we want to draw back and say that wasn't Spirit inspired. That's probably the common point. When we don't like something, we say that it's not Spirit inspired. If we feel that way, then we better do some serious digging for ourselves as to find out, rather than say that it's absolutely a false pretense or a false precept, to be brought from the pulpit, rather than say that, immediately we need to stop and say, "Lord, is this for me or is it not?" Because when we come to church, what do we come to church for? Do we come to church just to see everybody? Do we come to church just because it's the expected thing to do? Or do we come to church and we expect, when we come to church, that we hear God speak to us? What do we expect when we come to church? Expect God to speak. Do we expect God to speak to us through the preaching. What is the purpose of preaching? The purpose of preaching is for us to hear God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now here at the first part of the verse, Paul is thanking God for the people of Thessalonica that heard the gospel for the very first time, likely for the very first time in Acts chapter 17. He's going traveling and they make their way to Thessalonica, and in this particular passage of Acts 17, there was a lot of people that came along and followed after them. The King James uses the word, I think, consorted with them. They hung around. They liked what was being said, and they believed what was being said. They took it in and received it. And Paul now, in this letter to the Thessalonian church, he's saying, I thank you that when you heard the word of God, when you heard the gospel, you received it not as though I was speaking it myself humanly, but you received it because you believed that it came from God. The preaching of the word. You accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God. Now, someone might say that the authority with which Paul was preaching had concluded with the apostles. I've heard that before. Sometimes people say that the authority that Paul preached with concluded with the apostles. And to a certain degree, that may be true because the scripture has been concluded. They were writing scripture as they preached or as they wrote. That part of it is all gone, but still the authority of doing the preaching still remains even to the preacher or the apostle, as it were, of our day, though we're not true apostles of having seen Christ with the eye. Peter concludes for us that it's not something that has vanished with the apostles. But Peter tells us that if anyone speaks, it's 1 Peter chapter 4, if you care to turn to that. He said, if anyone speaks, they should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Let me flip over to that myself so I can give it to you in the King James. 1 Peter chapter 4, I believe it is, and verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now again here, Peter's opening the door to more than just the preacher. But the context of this verse is that somebody is teaching Bible in the church. That puts a lot of responsibility on all of us who teach. Whether it's in the pulpit as preaching or in the class setting as such of Sunday school. Some of these in the young adult class downstairs that are venturing into out of their comfort zone, they're getting a feel of that responsibility. I think Benjamin's Sunday was today. Kind of saw him standing up front as I walked past the door. He's probably getting the feel of the responsibility that is resting upon somebody who teaches God's word. And Peter is saying, if anyone speaks, they should do it as though they are speaking the very oracles or the very word of God. The Amplified said, whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God. Now that's pretty weighty. That's pretty heavy. And if that be the case, If that be the case, how are we to receive it? But here's a warning. Christopher Ashe words it so well, I want to just give it to you the way he worded it. He said, the preacher's authority is a borrowed authority. It's not because they are gifted or eloquent that preachers have authority, nor because they may be ordained or have titles, degrees, or qualifications, or are recognized by churches or denominations. Did you get a hold of what he said? It's not because of man-established authority. This is a borrowed authority from God for any one of us. The authority that comes is a borrowed authority. Now, I know that there's times that we may struggle with someone who's preaching. There's times that I've heard preaching that's called preaching or Bible teaching on the radio, and I've had to turn it off because, not necessarily because they were stepping on my toe, but because to me, doctrinal issues that were coming across, I just didn't want to sit and listen to because I don't believe that way. I don't believe that that's what God intended. But it's not always someone that preaches, it's not always when someone preaches that we hear the voice of God. We might be hearing only the voice of the preacher. Does that sound like a contradiction? We have to be careful what we hear. Take heed, therefore, how you listen and what you hear. Actually, this authority that comes to a preacher can go two ways. I think that I've experienced both sides. The one side is a negative side. Well, somewhat they're both negative sides, but the one is terribly negative because it damages the emotions more than perhaps what the other one does in a dark sense. But when a person doesn't like something that the preacher says, even if it's backed up entirely by Scripture, that person has a tendency to write off everything that that preacher says. Have you ever done that? You heard something that somebody said and you didn't like it, and so it was easy to write off everything. Sometimes we may hear something that the preacher preaches and it goes cross-grain with us and we sit there and struggle with it and we don't hear another word that he says and he may have come back around and explained what was cross-grain to us. But we wrote off everything else he was saying. And sometimes we throw everything out, baby with the bath water, in the spiritual sense of preaching. Now, I realize that the preacher is going to say some things that we don't always like. Wasn't it John Wesley that said, if you haven't made somebody mad, then you're not really preaching? I had a woman get up, second or third, I think it was the third seat, and right down the center aisle and stood at the back and glared at me for I don't know how long, and then went ahead and stormed out. I knew I had said something. Actually, I think I knew I was going to say something that made her mad. But me being me, I went immediately outside after service and shook her hand and asked her if everything was okay. But sometimes there's that side that when the preacher says something that we don't like, that we just write everything off and we throw it away as though it's all uninspired. But on the other hand, there's been times that when we've given so much authority to the pastor or the preacher that we place them up on such a high pedestal that it becomes dangerous. Now, I'm a little bit careful to say anything about that because we don't want to minimize the pastoral role, but we cannot be pushed up to a high pedestal to where everything that is said is unquestioned. The problem, one of the biggest problems with that is that when that kind of thing takes place, that the pedestal is being pushed up higher and higher, the danger is of either that person falling and creating a tremendous fall in others as well, or becoming cultish in his demeanor and in his directives. And that's not good either way. There's some people that I've, I guess you'd say, pastored. It's nothing that I did. But if you were to talk to them and say, "Oh yeah, John Ziegler's our pastor," they would, he's such a great man. He's such a wonderful guy. My wife ran into somebody at Dinky's a couple weeks ago. Quit laughing. It's not that funny. And she bear hugged my wife and said, "Oh, you've got to come back." It's nothing that I did. Some of it was just simply I was at the right place at the right time to help them in their tremendous hour of need. That's all it took. And they think the sun rises and sets. Some of them are great. They very seldom came to church, but oh yeah, John Ziegler's a good guy. You know, it's wonderful to be loved like that, but that's not biblical authority. Biblical authority comes from God in the effective preaching of His Word, where God's Word is being proclaimed, and from that, people receive from heaven. Oh yeah, I'm not, don't diminish what the pastor can do in a place of specific need. The newspaper editor of Shoals was touched by a pastor a number of years ago, and to this day, Rod is his pastor. There's nobody that's going to assume that position. He was there to meet a specific need at a specific time. Though that man, I don't guess he ever darkens a church door. But pastoral authority is not coming from that level. It's when the Bible is faithfully opened up. When the Bible is faithfully opened up, we are to listen to the voice of the preacher as though it were the voice of God Himself. The preacher stands on the tradition of the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles who spoke the Word of God as God inspired them to speak. The difference is that the preacher of this day cannot offer fresh ideas or new revelations to add to the Bible. That's not our job. The Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, they were doing that sort of thing, as so to speak. But we as modern day preachers, since the apostles' time, we don't have any business adding new ideas or new revelations to God's Word. We take God's Word and we present it as His Word. But just like the traditions of the Old and the New Testament voices for God, there is, even then and now, a borrowed authority to speak what God wants spoken. If the preacher is the voice of God in our day, that voice should be listened to with a real sense of seriousness. Would you agree? Would you agree with that? That if the preacher is to be the voice of God speaking in our generation, in our day, should we not enter into that listening with a sense of seriousness? Our listening should not be casual, as though, oh, this is just another sermon, the last thing that happens in our service before we can get home and get something to eat. That doesn't mean that we should never smile or chuckle or even laugh while the preacher is preaching. Sometimes, actually, the preacher invites us to smile at ourselves or at our foolishness or at the antics of a child or some other thing that draws a laughter from us. Quite often, those points or those things that draw laughter from us are nothing more than personal illustrations, something that you and I can feel and touch, a personal illustration that points to a truth, just like the parables that Jesus used. Something that we can personally relate to. But we should never be light or flippant about hearing God's word, hearing God's voice. For you and I, we may not fully understand the next statement because most of us have been raised this way. Being raised this way, things are a little bit different in our natures than what it would be for somebody like the Church of Thessalonica who was being brought in fresh and new to the gospel. But even with our being brought up this way, and we would think that it's natural for us, it is not, or it might not be natural, the natural thing to listen to the preacher as though he had the voice of God. But we must ask the Spirit of God to open our ears so that we can listen. We must ask the Spirit of God to open our eyes so that we can see His truth. We must ask the Spirit of God to open our heart to receive not just the voice of the preacher, but the voice of God. Pray that the Spirit of God will do that in us. Pray that the Spirit of God will do that in us. Open my eyes so I can see, my ears so that I can hear, my heart so that I can receive. Here's some homework. Practical steps. If the preacher's preaching a series and you can follow the series, doesn't always happen. I know it's less often than what this would suggest to us. But if there's a series, look up the next Sunday's Bible passage and read it at home before or during the week. Now, these next ones we can probably all follow through with. Practical steps to take home and do homework with. Number two, pray for next Sunday's preacher in the middle of the week. Number three, pray often for yourself that by His Spirit, God will grow in you a heartfelt expectation that God Himself will speak to you as His Word is preached. Number four, if you can, try not to come to the sermon exhausted, but to come rested and ready to pay close attention. Number five, deliberately quiet your mind and heart before the sermon and say to yourself, "This is when God speaks to me," and pray, "Lord, speak to me. I'm listening." You see, Jesus tells us and told us that we are to be careful how we listen, or take heed, therefore, how you hear. I believe it's vital for us to grasp. I'm not trying to set myself up as some personal authority of my own, but the authority of God's Word being proclaimed is something for us all to hear and all to receive. Whether it's Sunday after Sunday or revival meeting after revival meeting, when we miss, we've missed hearing the voice of God. That very well could have been something that God wanted and needed for me to hear. The preaching of the Word, in some people's eyes and mind, is foolish, but it's God's plan for us to hear from heaven. Do you come to church expecting that? Say, "I can't with you, Pastor, and I'm sorry." But if we come expecting God to speak, I believe that we can hear God speak. Let's stand together this evening. So long about Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, pray for Brother Smith. He'll be coming to preach next Sunday. And long about Monday, Tuesday, and on through, pray for me in revival meeting, Clark Grace Church. Is every heart clear this evening? Lord bless you, give you a good week. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Cook, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?